Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue now in our study in 1 John chapter 4. We are in a third section, as you know, that deals with the love of God. The first one was in chapter 2, the second one was in chapter 3, and now we come to the third and the longest one in chapter 4, which begins at verse 7 and continues to the end of the chapter in verse 21. And we've covered the first two verses, verses 8 and 9, or rather 7 and 8, that introduce this section. And now we come to verse 9. It says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Let me read that again. "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." And we find two great Bible themes converging in this one text. Number one, the love of God, and number two, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And what we have is a statement that the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the greatest demonstration of divine love. Now, you recall that this third section on the love of God begins with an exhortation for believers to love one another. That's what we saw in verses 7 and 8 previously covered. But now it continues by setting forth God's love for us as our example. God's love is the pattern of our love. God's love is the demonstration of what love should look like. And this text highlights the ultimate demonstration of God's love, namely the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And of course, that means everything involved in the incarnation from beginning to end, including, of course, that ultimate and final demonstration of love in that He laid down His life upon the cross. But this is a great incarnation text in the Bible, and it is a great love of God text in the Bible. It is both. And we shall see that as we examine it more carefully. But thank you for joining us on this Monday, October 8. And many thanks, many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, in verse 9, we have the revelation of God's love, the demonstration of God's love, and the purpose of God's love. We begin with the revelation of God's love when we read, "In this is the love of God manifested toward us." In this, the intended revelation of love is indicated by the words "in this," and that means that's going to introduce what comes next. That phrase could point us backwards or it could point us forward, but here it's pointing to what follows. It points us forward rather than pointing backward to the previous text. In this, it's a favorite statement by the Apostle John in this epistle. Sometimes it's translated "by this" rather than "in this," but the Greek words are the same. And this is the 10th of 14 "in this" statements in this epistle. And if you'll examine the 14, you will find what I just said to be true, that sometimes in this refers to what went before. I tell you this, and then I tell you what that means. In this that I just gave you, that I just stated, you will find such and such. But in this particular case, it's introducing what follows. When it says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us. It's telling us that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so the intended revelation of love is the giving of God's Son. We not only have the intended revelation of love, but we have what we call the superior revelation of love. The love was manifested. Manifest means to make known, to make visible. And so love is made visible by the coming of Jesus Christ. We think of love as being an emotion, and it is, not primarily and not totally, but it is. We think of love as being a feeling, and it can be. I don't know that it always is. In fact, I would insist that sometimes it is not. But we would have to agree that love, though we all talk about it and have some concept of what it is, it really isn't visible until it acts in a certain way that we can say that demonstrates love. What is love? What is love? When the world talks about love in our day, it's usually talking about erotic love. It's talking about a sexual relationship, generally. We hear that kind of language all the time, to make love. Well, that supports my point. The point is, we're talking about love, but we're really talking about some action, some manifestation, some demonstration that we say, now that indicates the presence of love. We can't see love by itself. That's intangible. But when something is done because love motivates that particular action, we can see the action. We can say there's love. And that's, in a sense, what we've got here in the text. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. It reminds me a little of the words of Christ in John chapter 3 and talking to Nicodemus when He talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And He illustrated it by the blowing of the wind. And He said, the wind blows where it desires, where it wishes, and you cannot tell where it comes and where it's going. But you can see it, you can hear it. And so there are certain things that alert you to the fact that the wind is present, but what you really are seeing is the effects of the wind. If you hear it, it's because you're hearing the whistling of the wind through the trees or around the eaves of the building, howling down an alleyway if it's a strong wind or something like that. You're hearing the effects of that wind blowing, and you are seeing the leaves blow, you're seeing the trees bend, you're seeing the branches dropping off, you're seeing demonstrations of the wind, and so you say, the wind is blowing. You look out the window, and you see bushes moving and trees swaying, and you say, the wind is blowing. You didn't see the wind, you saw the effects of the wind, and it's the same idea here. You don't see love, but you see what love produces. And so we have a revelation of love. The love was manifested. God's love made known. God's love made visible. God's love is made known in many ways. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talked about the love of God in terms of temporal blessings. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, He said, God sends His rain upon the just and the unjust alike, and He sends His sunshine upon the just and upon the unjust alike, and He makes it clear that that's a demonstration of the Father's love. Don't miss that part. It's there. That's a demonstration of the Father's love and becomes an illustration of how we are to love others. This is showing us the way. It's demonstrating it for our benefit so that we can understand how we are to love others. Let me read that passage. Matthew 5:43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors the same?" And so forth. This is the demonstration. God sends rain on his believing children and also upon his enemies, those who are at enmity with him, the just and the unjust alike. He generally sends the same amount of rain on the Christian farmer's farm as he does on his infidel neighbor next door. And they both get the rain from the same loving God who manifests his love, his general benevolence, toward both of them alike. Though, of course, the Christian farmer is going to experience other manifestations and levels of God's love that the infidel farmer will not experience. I'm not suggesting that every action of God toward the infidel is equal to that that is manifested toward his dear child. But in this one area, it's generally the same. God could do it differently. He could cause his rain to fall upon the farm of the believing farmer and have his rain skip over the unbelieving farmer next door. He can do that. He can do some amazing things. My wife and I still marvel. We have four daughters. In the first one to get married, we had the marriage ceremony in our church and then the reception in our backyard. And we were worried. We were expecting, I think, I forget now, between 300 and 400 people coming to the reception. It's a big backyard. And it was raining. In fact, the caterer, who was also a member of our church, who was doing the catering, said, "You really need to move it to the church fellowship hall," which really wasn't large enough to accommodate the number we were expecting, which is why we hadn't planned to have it there at the time. We have since enlarged it, and we could have it there now, but not in those days we couldn't. And my wife held out and said, "No, I believe the Lord's going to take care of us." And the day of the wedding, it turned out to be a beautiful day, but there was rain. But the incredible thing was, it rained right up to our property line and stopped. And if you don't believe that, I know that's hard to believe, but it's the truth. We had rain on the other side of our property line and a rainbow above that, and no rain fell in our yard that day. Just to say that God obviously can do that and does do that when it suits his purposes. And in our case, he was showing special favor on us by withholding the rain so that it did not fall in our yard. But normally it falls on everybody alike. That's a demonstration of God's love. But we'll come back and talk about it tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.